All right, well, we're in the midst of kicking off a brand new series starting this week, and I'm grateful. As we know, Thanksgiving is around the corner. Children may go back to children's church. I'm sorry. Got to get used to that. Amen. The children are able to submit to go back there to the children's church. They're getting ready for them. But we're just grateful for what God is doing. And so as God was praying, God gave, put this series on my heart, not just because Thanksgiving is coming, but in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Now, sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow in everything. So we're going to dig through Scripture and see what it says and how to apply it to our life. So the start of it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get them out. Not, you can look on the screen. It's right there. I'm have you stand real quick for the reading of God's word. We do want to honor God's word. Anymore, you stand in it because you want to. Amen. But we do want to honor God's word today. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says this. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So today you can imagine we're talking about in everything give thanks, and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. There were two old friends who met each other in the street, two old friends, and one looked at forlorn. He looked extremely sad and upset. He was on the verge of tears almost. So his friend came to him and said, "What's wrong, my friend? Why you look so sad? Why you look so upset?" But this is what his friend told him. He said, "Well, let me tell you about my last 3 weeks. My uncle died and left me $40,000. Friend said, "Well, that's a lot of money, amen." He said, "But let me tell you about my second week. A cousin that I never met died and left me $85,000 free and clear." He said, "Man, sounds like you've been very blessed to me. I'm trying to figure out where the disconnect is." So he said, no, you don't understand." He interrupted him. "You don't understand what I've been going through. In the last week, my great aunt passed away. And she left me almost $250,000. By this time, the friend's confused, don't understand what's going on. He's baffled. He's like, "Then why do you look so sad? Why are you so upset?" He said, "Because this week I haven't received anything." Man, maybe that hits you Tuesday. Can I suggest to you that the problem this man has, some of us suffer from as well. We receive so many things on a regular basis that eventually we expect them to come and we take them for granted. And then we get upset when we no longer get what we think we should receive. The goal of this series is for all of us to realize just how good God is, how blessed we are, and how much on a daily basis God takes care of us. And because we are used to having everything all the time, we make the mistake of becoming entitled and think we deserve it in the midst of everything. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to look at these scriptures. So I'm going to get, I got 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. I got a few different versions. The New King James Version says, "Rejoice always." New Living says, "Always be joyful." I love the Message Bible. That's the ghetto version. It says, "Be cheerful no matter what." You are going to be to be a thankful person. You have to be a person that knows how to rejoice. You have to know how to rejoice. What is rejoicing? Because that's a word we really don't use typically in America. Nobody says, "I go rejoice," or "I rejoiced at this situation." So what does rejoice mean? If we look at it in the Greek right here, rejoice, it's pronounced kareo. Primary verb, it means to be full of cheer, that is calmly happy or well off. Be glad and Godspeed. It means to be joyful. That's what rejoice means. So to rejoice is not only a privilege, but a Christian duty. See, the believer is obligated to rejoice as much as he is to believe. That's why one of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Joy. So we have to have joy. God calls for us to rejoice. That's why Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, how could this man whose whole city had been torn down, the walls had been destroyed, he's sitting at the king's feet, he goes to rebuild his city, he got a big mess that he has to take care of, everything's tore up, he got enemies there that are trying to kill him, take his life in the midst of it, he got to get a group of men together and build this wall back up, but he still said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." See, even though everything seemed wrong, joy does something. When I'm rejoiceful, the joy I got, the world didn't give it, so the world can't take it away. If I'm joyful, I got the strength to move on. God wants to give you this joy. But sometimes it seems a mockery to direct people to rejoice in the midst of this world, when this world has sin, it has sorrow, and it has death? How do I get people to rejoice? It seems a mockery sometimes to direct the church that the church needs to rejoice. How can the church rejoice when the church at this time in history was getting persecuted? It's getting attacked for their beliefs in Jesus Christ. But the church also was encouraged to rejoice by Paul. Matter of fact, I read it early in scripture on purpose because Paul had this to say to the church of Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Hold up, Paul. The church is being persecuted. Things are going wrong in life. What do you mean rejoice in the Lord always? Then you say again, you had to reinforce this, that you mean for us to rejoice. Paul had been dismissed by the Pharisees. Yeah, his old clique. They ain't deal with him no more. All his old friends, they ain't fool with him no more. They thought he went crazy and lost his mind. Some Jews even called Paul a fake apostle. They said, you lying. You haven't met Christ. You don't know Christ. You're making up your own agenda. He was beaten up and placed in jail for believing in Jesus. All these things going on. He had a nerve to say, rejoice in the Lord? Always? How are we able to always rejoice when all this turmoil is in my life? I'm standing here today as a young pastor to show you that everything is imperfect in life. I know you had some issues. I know you had some hard times. I know life has given you some ups and downs. But I got a sneaky suspicion that if you are standing here today, God's been good to you. I got a sneaky suspicion that if you were right here and I can see you, you can breathe and you can move and have your being, that God has been good to you. So that's your reason to rejoice, just because I can talk, I can walk, I can move, I have my mind. My babies woke up last night. I can move. I didn't get no crazy phone calls. So we should be thankful enough that God has been good to us just today. Because some people got some bad news yesterday. But God has been good for us. The psalmist said this. I love this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. What does that mean? Give thanks to the Lord. I give him thanks. He's good because his mercy endures forever. That means his mercy. That means some stuff that should have happened to me didn't happen to me. Some stuff that I deserve happened to me didn't happen to me. So since that alone lets me know that God is good and he's worth rejoicing. Amen.
Amen.
Look at the next. The next verse, it's in the New King James Version. Pray without ceasing. Yeah, that's something we don't look at in the Bible enough. Pray without ceasing. And I'm here to tell new creation, God got me going all over the place with prayer, man. He's been taking me and Lady Thomas in a whole other level. Our prayer life has been increasing. It's been crazy. So if you connected to me, I'm going to be challenging you in your prayer life. Prayer is important. Prayer is oxygen. You need prayer to breathe in this world. You need prayer. Think about this. Jesus tripped me out. I was reading the Bible last week, and Jesus broke away from himself time and time again to go pray. Jesus is God. Why are you praying? What do he really need? He know the Father. Why does he need to pray? But time and time again, before he made a major decision, Jesus went to go pray. So if Jesus is God and needs to go pray, look at your neighbor and say, you need to pray too. Yeah, you need to pray too. If Jesus needed to pray, we need to pray too. Here's a shameless plug. I want to have a men's prayer breakfast next Saturday. And when Paul says this, check this out. Pray without ceasing. What does he really mean? Are we supposed to walk around just praying all day, not talking to people? People think you're crazy in the world. You run around all day just praying and praying. Are you supposed to be making religious repetitions all day long and not communicating with your brethren? No. Paul doesn't mean that. Paul wants us to use some sense, and I'm going to break it down. But check this out. God knows we need to pray for him. For one, it invites him into our situation.
Amen.
Yeah. It invites, God is an invitation in your life. God's a gentleman. God ain't gonna come busting down the doors. No, that ain't how God wrote. God wants to invite you into his life. Jesus says this, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask.
Amen.
Y'all miss y'all shout.
He
knows what I need before I ask. The God I serve is so awesome. He already knows what my need is, but he's just like anything else. A closed mouth don't get fed. You got to open your mouth and tell him what you need. My child can sit there. I can assume they want something to eat, but if they don't tell me, I'm probably going to give them the wrong thing, even though they want something else. And Destiny don't eat pizza. I know that now, but until she told me she didn't like pizza, I bought her home pizza. God wants to give you what you need, but you got to let him know what you need. Man, I love that. So I'm mature enough to admit, like, it's tripped out because there are times in our life when crisis comes, it's overwhelming, we get fear, we get a loss of hope, and all these things motivate us to pray. I can remember young in my Christian walk, in times I didn't pray enough. I should have been praying, I wasn't praying, and God is so awesome, he lets some fools just pop off in my life, just so I pray.
Amen.
I'm gonna bring you back to your knees. You done got to you out here doing this and doing this. Come back to me to focus. Once you get closer to me, I will change everything. I love this. Prayer is so powerful. It doesn't change God.
Amen.
It changes the person who prays.
Yeah.
I love that God is so powerful. Check this out. So this is the purpose of prayer. Prayer invites God into my life and it helps mold me into his will. It invites God to my life. I say, here I am, God, come into my life. But then it molds me to his will. That's why Jesus said, when they said, teach us how to pray, thy kingdom come, your will be done. It's molding me into his will as I talk to him. That's how I get my prayers answered. Because now, when I'm asking things according to his will, not for my selfish gain. Oh, man. All right, check this out. To pray without ceasing, as suggested, or as the Message Bible says, to pray at all times. This means never being far from the attitude or action of talking and listening to God. Yeah, you should never be far from the attitude and the action of talking and listening to God. The person that is able to give thanks in prayer is a natural part of their thinking. Not just in our worship and not just in our work. But also in those quiet moments when I'm at work in my desk and I can sit up a quick prayer real quick. Or I'm in my car riding, I can just say a quick prayer real quick because I have an attitude of action of prayer to God. I can pray at any given time because one, he's there, and two, he cares.
Amen.
I love that. I love that. I can pray at any time because I know his ear is listening to me. God listens to all of us. That's so awesome to me that no matter if somebody's in China playing, somebody's in America playing, somebody's in Afghanistan, that God is listening to all our prayers.
Amen.
Like we on a gigantic family playing from Sprint. Amen. God hearing everything from everywhere. He hears our prayers. That's why 1 Peter 5:7 said, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. He wants your anxiety, he wants your fear, he wants all that mess you got. Give it to him because he cares for you. Check this out. Let me make it make sense. You're not sinning if you're not praying every second of the day. That's not what he's saying. It's not a sin if you're not. That's just not realistic. That's crazy. We're not robots. We don't have artificial intelligence. We're not crazy. But it's like this. When we see our kids on their phone all day or they want to be outside, what do they say? You on that phone all day. But they want to go outside, play. You want to play all day. You ain't really play all day and do nothing else?
Yeah.
No. But they have it around them so much that you see it with them all the time. So as a Christian, that's how my prayer life should look. Think about your child. It won't stop texting. Everybody got teenagers, amen.
Amen.
Probably everybody else owns to have a phone. They don't put it down. And some adults don't put it down. So think about that. That's the attitude I should have when in prayer. God's desire for prayer becomes an ongoing opportunity that we take full advantage of quietly while we're praising and thanking him. And his mind is always in the context in our mind and our hearts that I always should be praying. I always should be thanking God. I've been reading this book, The Battle Plan, for prayer, man. It's been blessing my life. And it's an acronym they give. I want to help you out. It's an acronym called ACTS. A-C-T-S. Check this out. You see it up there on the screen. Adoration is the first one. What is adoration? Giving God praise. Lord, I thank you. Lord, you've been good. You're wonderful. You're my wonderful counselor. You're my God. You're my King. You're my Savior. You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lifting his name up is adoration because God has been so good in our lives.
Yes.
It's one of the ways that we should come to God in prayer. Another one is confession. What is confession? Being honest about your sins. He already knows what you did and what you didn't do. God's so cold-blooded, he even know your motive. So if he already know, why not go before him and talk to him about it? Confession is imperative in your relationship. The other one is thanksgiving. God-directed, humbly expressed gratitude. I'm grateful for what God is doing in my life. And the last one is supplication. Is I'm asking something for God. I'm putting a prayer request known to God. I'm lifting up a need, something that I want from God. And as I teach more on prayer, my goal is for us really to use all four when we pray, because sometimes it depends on where we at in life. We use one more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Or we use two and three and don't use one. But all of these things kind of coincide to make a good prayer life. All of them are essential for us to get to where God wants us to be. But today, we talking about thanks today, so I don't get too deep into that, but we talking about thanks. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18, New King James Version. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. I like that one. But I also like the New Living Translation as well. Check it out. Be thankful in all circumstances,
amen,
for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I like that one too, but I had to go to the ghetto version one more time because I like that one too. The Message Bible. Thank God no matter what happens.
Amen.
This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. I like that. Thank God no matter what happens. I just love that right there. That does something to me right there. See, while praise focuses more on who God is, we love to praise God, who he is, we're grateful, we're thankful, the adoration. But thanksgiving highlights what he has done and what he is doing in our life. Just as a parent delights in grateful children, we should magnify him with thanksgiving. Magnify him with thanksgiving. I love all my children. And those who have multiple children know they all are wired a little differently. Everybody got their own issues and they're all different. I got their good traits and bad. They all a little different. And trust me out, when I bring home food or Lady Thomas cooks, generally Miracle is always the first one to say, thank you, Mama, for cooking. Or he's saying, thank you, Daddy, for bringing home this food. That's what Miracle is. So when we was going through the envelopes, I thank you all for everything you gave and anything you put in there for past anniversaries. I'm going through the envelopes. Miracle had a note on hers, and she had an envelope. She's the only child that did that, amen. And so it shocked me a little bit because it said, you know, Mom and Dad, I'm proud of you. God's proud of you. Thank you. I love you. And she even put some money in y'all. It tripped me out. It shocked me that a 9-year-old heart could be that grateful.
Yes,
that she sees what her parents is doing and in God. And she said, I need to thank you for that because you're doing something for God, but it's also blessing me too. So it shocked me that she did that, but it didn't surprise me. Why it didn't surprise me? Because she's wired like that. She's a thankful child. So instantly, who you are shows up in gratitude in what you do. So it doesn't surprise me that she's thankful and a grateful individual. But it made my heart leap for joy. The other two weren't thinking nothing like that. Praise God. Praise God. They weren't thinking about that. I'm gonna frame it so you can see it every day. Matter of fact, see it for the rest of your life. That Miracle, he older. And the other ones, they thankful in their own ways. You know what I mean? They're more wired to those two towards sports. So when I take them somewhere and do those things, they're thankful in their own way. They show their whole gratitude. But the point that I'm making is that gratitude makes parents happy.
Amen.
When your children are grateful for what you've done for them, don't it make you happy? It feel you good, make you feel like my work ain't in vain. That I'm going pushing this clock for you. I'm going whatever, teaching you and giving you life lessons because I care. So whatever we do, so check this out. Psalm 69 and 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. So God wants thanksgiving. So what is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is a trip. This is what trips me out about Thanksgiving because it's priceless. Yet it costs nothing. Yeah. Thanksgiving is priceless. God loves Thanksgiving. But what does Thanksgiving really cost us? The fruit of our lips and giving his name thanks. Thanksgiving is just opening your mouth and thanking God for who he is and what he's done. Look at the scripture, Hebrews 13. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Ooh, God wants the fruit of our lips. It trips me out because we thankful to everything else. We quick to say thankful for the things that sometimes don't mean us no good. We quick to give thanks for that. I remember a long time ago when I first got saved, I was trying to get my buddies to come to church with me. I was like, come on, come to church. He was like, I ain't really got no ride. I was like, I'll come and get you. Man, you ain't got to do all that. I said, yes, I do, because if I said I had a fifth of Hennessy, you say, come on. Mm-hmm. You on your way. Is you coming or not? But when I say come to church, you don't have to do all that. No, we get thankful for the wrong thing. So this is why before I preach, I've allowed some extra worship to go on sometimes because I want to get the atmosphere of worship. I say what? God wants to hear your mouth. Open your mouth and give him thanks. Open your mouth and tell him how good he's been, because I can praise him all day for you, but it means more coming from you.
Amen.
Open your mouth. God wants to hear your voice. I'm trying to help you increase your faith and your dependency on God. See, he's been so good. See, he's been so good and so faithful. Let us continually offer up a praise of what the scripture said by the fruit of our lips. I heard someone say this, it trips me out. Says that if you woke up tomorrow and only had what you thank God for yesterday, what would you have? Ooh. If I woke up tomorrow and only had what I thank God for yesterday, what would I have? So for about 10 seconds, can you just get up and stand up on your feet, give God some praise for what you had yesterday? So thanking you for your health, your strength, your right mind, whatever he's done in your life, and give him some praise, some shout, clap, whatever you want to give him. Give him some good praise. And if you have faith, I want you to take another 10 seconds and praise him for what he's about to give you. Praise him for what you prayed for. Praise him for what you ain't got yet. See, I believe in praising God in advance. Thanking him in advance because I know it's on the way. God wants to bless you. But you got to open your mouth. You got to give him some praise. You got to give him some glory. You got to be thankful. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I have to remind us that when we're not being thankful, because being thankful is the will of God. We've seen that he wants us to offer praise. When we're not being thankful, what are we being? Ungrateful. And that's very costly and a poisonous sin. Some of you might know who she is right there. I don't know if y'all seen the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, amen? Well, old school Willy Wonka. And this was a child that was out of control. Spoiled brat to the teeth. Daddy gave her everything and her whole thing. I want it now. I don't care what you say. I know you bought me this and bought me that. I know you've been good to me, but I still want it now. Is that how we look at God? Is that how we treat God? No matter what he's done, it just ain't enough. I want more and more. Check this out. Romans 1 and 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The verse before this, he was dealing with nature. Like, people can't deny God. You can say Jesus ain't real, it's what you want, but you can't deny that it's a sun, a moon, the stars, this earth that is orbiting around. We got trees and all these vegetables, animals, all this stuff that man did not create. So you really can't deny God unless you just choose to. It's too much evidence that he's real. But then he says, check this out though. They were not thankful and became futile in their thoughts. Ah. See, that put me in the mind of a spoiled brat. Because somebody that's a spoiled brat doesn't understand the price. See, the brat that I just showed is like a kid that if you give them everything they want all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time, just give them everything and never teach them how to value it. What do? They tear it up. Bro, these shoes cost $200. $200. But guess what? They didn't pay for it. So that to them, it's just something I got. It's not, I didn't understand the value of price. So it's nothing for me to ask you for it again and think nothing of it if I tear it again and waste it again. Because they don't understand price. We become a spoiled brat. So what is God saying? We don't understand price sometimes. That he gave his son to die for us. They don't understand price that my son had to be humiliated. He had to get spit on. He had to get beat. He had to get whipped. He had to get crushed for us. See, once you understand the price, the Paul said this, you were bought with a price. Yo, the blood that bought you was a heavy price, the most expensive price. He gave up his life for you. So when I understand price, I'm able to be grateful. Amen. So allow God, once you understand who Jesus is and what he's done, he's not somebody, some picture shows him with three lashes on him. No, I love The Passion of the Christ. Love that movie. First time in my life, you haven't watched it, you should watch it. I think we should watch it every year just as a reminder. Of seeing all that blood drawn on the ground, all that pain, all that suffering, all that crown of thorns, sword in the side, being beat, carrying that cross, dying of thirst, all of this stuff. Why? Just to make sure me and God can have a good relationship? Just to bring me back in relationship with my Heavenly Father? So once we understand price, then we'll be grateful. Seeing our small piece of understanding, our hearts become dark. See, once we're not thankful, we decide who God is and what God should be doing. And if he should and shouldn't do. We put ourselves in the place of God. I had to come to the realization that some people, even though they might believe in God, they don't have a lot to be thankful for in life. Yeah. See, we can't get so in our own little bubble and think that some people might not feel like God abandoned me. I'm talking about being given thanks and everything. How do I give thanks if I feel God has abandoned me? See, the Bible tells us this, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of humanity. So someone might have hurt you in life. Heck, somebody might have molested you. I don't know. Somebody might have raped you. Maybe your parents weren't there. Maybe they did abandon you. And you're angry because you feel like God wasn't there. But it's not that God wasn't there. It's the God of this world who causes pain and suffering, that wants us to suffer. So if you're angry, that's what I'm here for as a pastor, as to love on you and help you work through that anger, because God wants you to know that he's always been there. He cares for you. That's why theology, the study of the scriptures, is so important. You get caught up in one spot in life, you take one scripture and run with it and now look at the whole counsel of God. But see, Paul was not teaching that we should thank God for everything that happens to us, no. But thank him in everything.
Yeah, you
missed that. Put that scripture up there. We're not supposed to thank, he's not saying thank God for everything that happens, because everything don't always feel good.
Right.
But we thank him in everything is the difference. See, evil does not come from God, like I said, but from the God of this world. So we shouldn't thank him for that. But when evil strikes, we can still be thankful. Why? Because God's presence and for his goodness, he will be with us through all distress. See. My unbothered people know this, that we talked about this, that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to this purpose. It didn't say all things are good that are happening, but all things work together. See, regardless of the pain and the problem facing your life, whoever you are, you got something to be grateful for.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's why developing a grateful heart is a major part of God's agenda. He commands it in his word. He tells us to be grateful. Give him thanksgiving. His works demand it. He died for us. He died, sent his son to die for us. His works demand us to be grateful. And then check this out. Then his spirit inspires us to be grateful. See, once the Holy Spirit is living in me, I know that Jesus died, then sent me to help. I'm grateful that I'm not the person I used to be. I got strength now. I got power. I'm grateful for what God has done in my life. So we have to get to this point. The reason I'm so thankful is not because everything is perfect. It's because I can depend on him in the midst of my circumstances.
Amen.
Yeah, I made that one over here. I'm going to repeat that. The reason I'm so thankful is not because everything is perfect. Everything's not going to be a sunny day.
Right.
This is not, life is not realistic. But I can depend on him and his word in the midst of my circumstances. See, even though this world is growing darker and darker, it seems by the day, his word promises goodness. Even though this world wants to devour me and take me out, his love never changed. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen.
His love never changed me. So when logic comes in and says there's no way to be thankful, when my mind tells me, look here, look what's going on. There's no way to be thankful. I can depend on a few things. His faith, his past faithfulness. Oh, yeah, see, maybe God ain't never bought you out of nothing, I don't know. But God has bought me out of some situations, and sometimes I should have been dead, I should have been in jail, I should have had things happen to me, I should have died a long time ago, but his past faithfulness
Amen.
Is something I can look forward to and be thankful for. His constant care, ooh.
Amen.
Now he's caring for me in a way I never knew before. He's always watching out for me, seen and unseen danger. Just not too long ago, me and Destin was on the highway, leaving workouts, about taking to a friend's house. We on the highway, going home, literally, everything's fine. Traffic standstill. We're like, what happened? Just happened. Get on our phones. Look, it was a bad accident. And we left the house 2 minutes, left the workout facility 2 minutes earlier. That would have been us right there in the midst of it. His constant care, he keeps me from seen and unseen danger. So his constant care keeps me excited. I'm loving it. And then check this out. I can be thankful as well as the sacrifice of his son. Because Jesus died, I can always be thankful. No matter what's going on, I know my name is written in the book of life. I know I have a spot in heaven. I know this place ain't my home. I know when I die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I will find myself with him in his glory. So it reminds us that when everything is crazy in our life and everything is messed up, he's been too good for me not to trust him.
Amen.
He's been too good for me not to be thankful.
Amen.
So it's easy for me to give him a grateful and a thankful heart because he's done so much. See, the truth of the matter is, the difference from a good day and a bad day is just one phone call. Yeah. One phone call telling us our mother is sick. One phone call, our baby has been in an accident. Our spouse has an illness. One of our friends and loved ones has been killed. Only one phone call away. A good day immediately becomes a bad day. And see, bad days are what we like to call valley experiences. So I'm going to give you this and we're going to roll. There are three ways to deal with our valley experiences. Number one, we can eliminate the valley. I can simply pretend the valley ain't there and it don't exist. But when I put myself in that mind to pretend it doesn't exist, what do? I'm likely to turn to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, all these other things to make the valley go away temporarily. But what happens once I sober up? The valley ain't left. The valley's still in my... I still got to deal with these issues. Another way we can do, we can expand the valley and we can add more drama to our life and make it worse than already. How do I expand it? By blaming other people for the valley. Yeah. By throwing ourselves a pity party. We good at those. We got the hat, the cake with our name on it and everything else. We good at throwing those. Now let us get on social media and put out the pity party. Them comments gonna start rolling. Girl, I know I feel that way too. I know it ain't no good. I know that we quick to throw ourselves a pity party and all that negativity, but leads us to destruction. The last option in our valley experience is to say, you know what? I'm gonna take it head on. Because if the shepherd leads me into the valley, it's because he knows where the greenish pastures are. If the shepherd leads me into the valley, he knows where the best grass is. See, I come to realize that the reason I can be thankful in all things, because there's always purpose in pain. Yeah. When I think about the most painful moments in my life, they've helped mold me into the man I am. Not that I enjoy them at the moment, but if I can retrack and look at what God has done, that pain has brought purpose in my life. So even on the baddest of days, the worst of days, I can still trust him. Yeah. Even when the phone call comes, I can still trust him. Even when I can't trace him, I can still trust him. Y'all ain't praying for me today. Even when the night sets and the dark and it's all bad and everything is wrong, I can still trust him. Don't you know you can trust God in the midst of everything? He is not a man that he should lie. So the reason I can give thanks in everything is because God gave us everything when he gave us his son. See, I realized when God gave us Jesus, and I'm about to be done, when he gave us the Savior, he gave us the Messiah. You got to think about this. The relationship was jacked. You can't keep offering up all these animals. God, the animals was a semi-help. The animals was cool for the time being. But God says, you know what? I looked over the land. I can't find an intercessor. I looked over a land. They can't save themselves. So I'm going to send myself to save them. God came down to earth to die for us.
Amen.
Came to shed his blood for us. So I think about this because people make you mad. Don't get it twisted. People make you angry. It's life.
Yes.
So how do I give thanks? God had to give me the mind frame that whatever somebody does to you, you've already done it to Jesus.
Yes.
Whatever somebody has done to you, I don't care if they lied, they hurt you. Whatever they've done, you've already did it to the Savior. That's why he went to the grave for your sins. So if I already did it for the Savior, it makes it easier for me to forgive my enemies. If I've already did it to the Savior, it helps me not to hold no grudges.
Yes.
If I've already did it to the Savior, it helps me to know that if I walk and ask for forgiveness, he's right there to pick me back up again.
Amen.
He's there to love me and care for me. So I'm able to give thanks in everything because God gave us everything when he gave us the Son. Amen. Amen. Give God a praise in his place. Hallelujah. 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 And we're grateful today. And I don't know where you stand in the need of or where you're at in your life. But if you have not made a decision for Christ to say, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior, that I believe that you died for my sins, that you rose from the grave for me, let today be your day. If you have not accepted him as Lord and Savior, he wants to be Lord and Savior of your life. He cares for you. Don't let the enemy trap you and lie to you that God don't care. That's the trick of the enemy. Jesus cares for you. He loves you. He loves you. The devil sends people in your way to make you think it's not true, but he loves you and he cares. And maybe you are saved, and maybe you're looking for a church home. You don't have a church home. We would love to have you here. Love to love on you. Love to help you grow and be who God has called you to be. Open up those gifts and we'll see what God wants to do in your life. Or maybe you are saved and looking for a church home and you just need some special prayer. You just say, you know what, Pastor, I'm just going through right now. I need some strength. I've been getting hit left and right and left. A lot's going on. I just need some strength. We're here to pray with you as well. But whatever you stand in the need.